Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Heavenly Father, and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this 16th Sunday after Pentecost comes from our Gospel reading, St. Luke chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. And I'm going to focus on verse 26 through 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. These are the words of Jesus. So we pray. May the meditations of my mouth and meditations of my heart and the words of my mouth be pleasing unto you, O Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. So what is the cost? What is the cost to be a Christian? Have you counted? Have you done an inventory? Now, many do not like to hear these words of Jesus. They think that they cannot possibly come from Jesus, not the gentle, mild, and meek Jesus, not the God who is love himself. But we have heard many passages like these in the last few weeks from the Gospel of Luke. All the churches throughout the world who use the lectionary, this lectionary, the three-year series, not just Lutherans, have heard them too. Pastors did not pick them on some whim. Every 3 years you hear them, yes, again, during this Pentecost season of the church year. Yes, they are truly Jesus' words. They are the word of God. They are for us to hear. We need to hear them. Mark them. Take them to heart. Inwardly digest them. Think about them and let them have their way with us. Let them be a light to our path. Let them direct our ways. Decide matters. Make up our minds with His word. Jesus. His ways. Jesus. His thoughts. Jesus. These must, they have to become our words. Our ways. Our thoughts. Above anything else. Yes, even above family. God first, then family. Even when those of our family reject them and rather something else. That can be the cost. A family member, your whole family, may tell you that if you hold to that kind of thing, if you believe that, if you practice that, if you decide based upon these words of Jesus, then they will have nothing to do with you. If they disown you and remove you from their will, if your friends don't want you, won't invite you, that can be the cost. What else do you think Jesus is saying? It is words of the cross. It's what it means to be cruciform. Is that cruel? No. But they are salty words that can smart. They are a reminder of the real reason there are wounds. Sin. The law, the truth that hurts before it can be of any use to us. Then this salt is preserving. Then the salt is healing. Then it is tasty. Then it is the very gospel itself. The cross of Jesus is a Roman torture to death device. It is also our salvation. That is the cost. The cross of Jesus with us until we are dead. Then it is the cross of Jesus that makes us alive. Yes, it's scary. Yes, it's hard. Yes, it seems impossible. But Jesus has already done it. He has taken the humanly impossible and made it possible for humans in Him, baptized into His death, and resurrection possible. Not just possible, but already done for us and in us, for real. And do not be dismayed. He remains with us the whole journey through it all. We cannot do this unless he does it in and with us. That is the only way. This is the only way. There is no other. Listen to no one who tells you differently. Read it for yourselves. Jesus means what he says in all of this description on how it will be for him and us, the cross, our life there, and this also our salvation, our healing, our resurrection there, here, right here, now. There is no Christian life but by the cross. St. Paul tells us he will know nothing in the church but Christ Jesus crucified. Not glorified, because the cross for the church, for him, is his glory, where he was glorified, where God shows his greatest glory, his greatest love for us, is on the cross. A bleeding and dead God, also that we who should be bleeding and dead will have his blood and live. Live his life and live forever. That was his cost. That was what he counted on when he decided to become human and deal with human condition, our condition, our hopeless, pitiful, impossible situation. He counted the cost and paid in full. He blazed this path with his blood. It is a bright, shining swath carved in the darkness, ablaze from earth to hell to heaven. He walked it himself so that he could be here to walk it with us each step of the way. When we hear this, when we see this in black and white, we wonder how we could ever. We want to shrink back and duck and hide. How could we ever be expected to do that, to be that, to even talk about that in any real, practical way? There must be another way. Taking this literally has to be wrong. Jesus has to mean something else. There is no other way. But there are many people who will tell you there is. They will say Jesus really was only talking symbolically, poetically, not like he or you would really. But yes, for real, in the fact, he did, and we will. How? No, not me. I mean, you can't expect me to leave them, my family, behind just because they don't believe like I do. And my friends? Surely everyone is entitled to their own opinions. As long as they believe in something, they're just fine, right? Aren't they? You are expected to walk that path, carrying the cross Jesus gives you to carry. You are expected to leave family and friends behind to follow Jesus and what he says, even if they won't. And no, no one is entitled to their opinion. They can have it for a while, sure, but little good it will do them in the end. There is only one truth. Jesus is the Word of God. But even these opinions that so many think they have the right to have, even these will be, in the end, taken from them. And also, know again, it must be faith in Christ to take away our sin. But there is no faith. It has to be his way. For that so-called faith in Jesus is not in the real Jesus. It is his way, by his means, where there is no faith at all. No one is just fine unless they have this, the one true faith. So how then will we be saved? That question was asked before by St. Peter. He too asked if there will only be a few who are saved in the end. The answer is yes, only a few. Why? The cost. Because sin is not allowed. Because that sin-causing self must be killed off. Because our ways and thoughts won't be listened to, asked for, tolerated, or allowed to be done. But you see, it is this very point that Jesus is talking to us here about. That place, and he is taking us there too, that place where we have been stripped of everything. That we stand condemned in his presence without anything we can do about it. Without anywhere to go or any way to escape our doom. That is Jesus' way. That is the way of the cross. Just look at him. In fact, he was crucified naked, so not even a little dignity was allowed him. That is the cross. And that is why even Jesus' closest disciples ran away. And he knew that already ahead of time. That is why you and I run, or try to, and want to most of the time. That is why so many rather hear preachers preach about other things, about another God, about another Jesus. Yet this is why he came. Had to come here and do what was necessary. We never would. He knew he had to do it first and alone. There was no way anyone else could. And still we can't. So where does this leave us? It leaves us without anything or any way out. It leaves us at his feet, feeble and unable. And that is where he wants us. That is what he wants. Because then he does it. He comes to us and works all of this in us and on us. He is the one who strips us of all that needs to go, which is everything. He brings us to a place we don't want to go. He takes away what we would rather keep. This is the way of the cross. This is the Christian life. But is this the end of it? Is this all there is? Do we get left here alone? No. What happened Easter morning? What happened to the shouts of Christ is risen? That is the last day for us. But what about all the good things along the way? Are there any? Yes, there are many. Jesus does not make this path just doom and gloom. Jesus' own life on earth was not just 33 years of misery. He raised many people from the dead there and then. He healed many diseases. He tossed the devil out of his creation many times, as he will do permanently very soon. He fed many people a free meal, made glad a wedding reception with the best wine ever, and lots of it. He helped increase the catch a few times for some fishing too. He did many things to bring peace, comfort, and joy to many people. This he does. This he will do along the way, on this path carrying as we travel with our cross. This will be with the few who stay on with him. But it is the only way. It is the only path. Jesus is to be found nowhere else. As Jesus says often, he who has ears, let him hear. He has come to take each of us with him home. He is the only one who can get this done. He assures us that it is he who began this in each one of us, and he will bring it to completion. He is the author and finisher of our faith, not us, him. And when he takes us to this place, facing our inability to do anything, when he strips us of anything we thought we could do to please him, that we thought we could work or change things, when we fall on our faces in utter failure, that is when he takes us by the hand and raises us up cleans us off, puts his clothes on us, feeds us with his own food. And then, hey, we find we do his will. Then we actually see that we are doing what is needed, right and good. It is his things, his way, all the way home to heaven, with Jesus right there the whole way. This is the Christian life. This is the life in him. He who has ears, let him hear. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.